This week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Heavy Play. If you're interested in getting some innovative curved sleeves, or even trying out their Equip Mag system that connects your playmat, deck box, and dice box together with high-quality magnets, check out HeavyPlay.com. Use the code DARKDEPTHS10 for 10% off your order. Again, thank you to our friends over at HeavyPlay.com. Enjoy the show. Thank you to our friends over at Magnolia Gaming, a leading supplier for all things TCG. If you're looking for a place to pick up cards for your next big event, or maybe you just want to do a draft with the new set with your best friends, use MagnoliaGames.com to pick up everything you need from Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood, Lorcana, and more. They have an excellent buy list to help you trade those extra modern cards for your first dual land, or maybe that old Angus McKenzie commander deck collecting dust can be traded in for the last cards you need for your collection. And be on the lookout for Magnolia Games at your next large regional event. Use our affiliate code to help support the Dark Depths podcast. Again, go to MagnoliaGames.com and tell them the Dark Depths podcast sent you. All right, enjoy the show. Galloping Inferno himself, Michael Matheson. How are you? I'm doing okay. But trying to deal with this calamity over here. Just a bunch of sick children and tired adults. It's a fun time. It's just what happens with the kids. I mean, it's just, like, it's obviously it's the kids at home. It's the kids at school. It's everybody. Everyone's sneezing and sniffling and allergies, and there's COVID around. It's a lot. It's just a lot. But it's good. We're surviving one day at a time. Hopefully you are as well.
These are kind of beating me up a little bit today, but overall, doing good.
I know I feel like we say this all the time. It's like, how was your week and all that fun stuff? But I feel like we have a lot of things we need to talk about that dig into with our week, our weekends, I guess, for the most part. So I don't want to spend too much time doing the catch up, because I mean, really, like, your Sunday was just like hanging out with people and playing Magic. So let's just jump into that instead. Where were you on Sunday?
Whoa. I had a very exciting weekend entirely. You know, I just get to skip over my weekend. I did. It was very busy.
Fine. Okay.
Don't you follow me on Twitter? You're a bad friend.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was delightful, Billy. On Friday, I saw Yo-Yo Ma in concert with my wife. Excellent tickets and, you know, excellent company. Big fan of my wife. Mm-hmm. Saturday, unfortunately, I had work in the morning. I tried to book it out of there as soon as I could. We played a gambit. My wife and I wanted to go do something else on Saturday. And we had choices between 2 o'clock or 8 o'clock. The issue is I work till 1:30, and the thing is 30 minutes away. So it's like, okay, can we get out a few minutes early so we can make it on time? The answer was yes, but then the train broke down on my way. So then I had to call Lyft. I made it just on time. We saw Hadestown, the musical, on Saturday. It was also fantastic. Also great seats. Again, wonderful company. Hard to beat a wife. And then...
it's actually very easy to beat a wife, but you shouldn't beat your wife. That's not good.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there, but...
I'm proud of you. That's good.
Just really... Billy is he's just like gunning to get us canceled. He's like, you know, I'm sick of this podcast, but I don't want to quit. So I'm just going to say off-color jokes.
If being pro and not beating my wife gets us canceled, I want to be canceled. I'll start that. If me loving and respecting my beautiful wife gets me canceled, so be it.
Yes, that's totally what I am saying. And not just the concept. Anyways... So on Sunday, then I got to finally, at long last, attend Spells at the Squirrel, another Sarge Presents event, which you were not there. I was very disappointed. Yeah, I was under the impression you were going to be there. I asked you if you could bring me cards. Well, I guess technically I just asked you for cards, not clarifying I needed them for the event, and just kind of assumed that you would put two and two together.
No.
I mean, it's fine. One, the event was proxy friendly. Two, I asked for a basic forest, so not the biggest of deals. But you know, I had like seven matching lands, and I had two ugly ones. That I actually love those lands too, but they didn't match, and it's your fault.
Yeah, very sorry. Yeah, I didn't. We'll get into this later, but I did in my own event on Saturday, so I was there and. It did not quite click that I could not do both events, but it, I don't know. I had a good time, too. I definitely wish I was hanging out with you guys, though. I obviously enjoy hanging out with our friends and whatnot, and it looked like it was a very, you know, really cool venue on Twitter.
So, Sarge picks unique venues. I believe the plan is, well, it's only been twice now, but I believe the plan is to continue picking these unique venues. So it was definitely a nice place. The pizza was good. We ran it on the Spice Rack app, I guess you want to call it. Well, I mean, it literally is an app, but like, you know, the Spice Rack tournament software.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, most people, I think, said that it was a good experience. There's definitely some kinks that need to be worked out, but I have faith in them that, you know, they're going to take the feedback and kind of run with it. So hopefully that gets squared away. But a lot of good things I heard being said. The event was super fun. I stuck to my guns and played a bad deck. I was like, as I was getting closer, I was seeing people be like, I'm bringing Rescaminator. Like, oh, what's the best deck to play? And I was just like, I should probably try, but I've already said that I wasn't going to. So I decided to be a man of my word. And what I brought was, I brought, like, the Dinosaurs on a Spaceship Nickfit deck. I don't know if you are familiar with Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
I know Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. Okay, so let me make sure I get some of this right. I know it's a red and white card. I think it's red. A red pip, a white pip, and three generic for a 7/7. Did that sound about right?
Four red white for a 7/7.
Past that, I feel like it's just like a wall of text that I have not committed to memory. So, what can you help me with the rest of it?
It's got Vigilance and Trample. Other dinosaurs you control get +1/+1 and have Vigilance and Trample, and suspend five total mana, one generic less. Whenever a time counter is removed from Dinosaurs on a Spaceship while it's exiled, create a 2/2 red and white dinosaur creature token with flying and haste. And I will say, At one point I was like, okay, they have flying, I can block the opposing Brazen Borrower, and then I looked at the card and just skipped over the word flying and was like, never mind, I guess I'm dead. And then as I was talking to somebody between rounds, I look down and I see the word flying and I'm like, I am so mad. so that did happen.
Which is like, there's not a, okay, so in like, this is not a slight at anybody. There are certain creature types that I expect to have certain abilities. And when you end up with, you know, weird examples like plants having reach, I'm just like, okay, that's kind of weird, but okay. I can kind of see it. It's a big canopy, whatever. When you start like throwing in like trample on creatures that don't really trample, like are too small to trample, like mice or something like that, if you start adding flying onto slivers, which again is a whole other thing, there's just a certain point where I'm just like, I don't remember this. Like, I know, like, Noble Hierarch has Exalted. That's not bizarre. But, like, I cannot be known. I cannot know that. I'm trying to think with a one card that drives me crazy still. Like, it's been years. And I still get blindsided by the fact that this one creature actually has. God damn it. I'm going to remember it later. I'll come back to it. Circle around. This creature has Reach, and I can't remember. Okay, go on.
Yeah, and so one of your goals is to get this card on suspend. And so having four copies of it in the deck are not enough, so you also play three copies of Sibylline Soothsayer, which I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
I'm not even going to try on that one.
So it is two and a red, and it is a 3/2 that when it ETB trigger, you reveal cards from the top of your deck until you reveal a non-land card with mana value 3 or greater, and then you exile that card with 3 suspend counters on it. So you can hopefully hit dinosaurs on a spaceship, and then you can start making your 2/2 flying dinosaurs on your upkeep, and it is like the best bitter blossom you've ever seen. The one thing that is unfortunate is Sibylline Soothsayer is a 3-drop, so you can also just hit a second one of it. And I gotta tell you, hitting the Soothsayer is way less exciting than hitting the Dino.
I could see that. Yes. At that point, you're just suspending a card that allows you to suspend a card.
Yes.
But you have to wait 3 turns to do it.
So like I said, I played this in a Nick Fitch shell. So cards like Fettered Explorer, Cabal Therapy, Thoughtseize, Green Sun Zenith, a little bit of a toolbox package in Moloch, which was stellar, which had not been my previous experience with the card, but that card was stellar. Okay. Collector Oof and Scavenging Ooze. Yeah, so it was very fun. Oh, and Fiend Artisan. Fiend Artisan was great. And Orcish Bowmasters. Yeah, the deck actually played out surprisingly well. There were definitely some things that I didn't love. And if anybody wants to see the deck list, I like retweeted a picture of it recently, so you can scroll through my Twitter. I stole it from, I want to say Patrick Green _PG8 on Twitter. So you can also scroll through his Twitter, and he stole it from Peter Vanderham. So you can also scroll through his Twitter. But I think you're going to be scrolling a really long time if you go to his. So would not recommend that one. But a great follow in general. Yeah, but so some issues with the deck I had were, so you're playing this Nick Fit deck with Veteran Explorer and Cabal Therapy, so you're great at like ramping lands, but because of Soothsayer, you don't want to have anything that costs more than 3 or more in your deck. So it's like, you know, you untap one, turn 2, and have 4 mana, but, or, well, 3. Like, what are you doing with it, you know? Like, turn 3 or 4 comes around, it's like, yes, I have cracked 2 Veteran Explorers, and I've got 8 lands in play, but I have nothing that costs more than 2 in my deck, essentially. So that was a little bit awkward. There wasn't really any removal in the deck, which is probably why Moloch shined so much, because that and Orcish Bowmasters were your only way to pick things off. Fiend Artisan was great, which should not have come as any surprise, because Newton has been telling us that card is great for a while now. It was a lot of fun to play with that. I hate that I'm one step closer to owning Cradle Control because I'm still light years away. So it's going to be one of those frustrating things. It's like, if only I had those Cradles. But anyways, deck was super fun. I definitely want to play around with it some more. The other thing it had was it had Burning Wishes, 4 Burning Wish, and then an entire Burning Wish package. And so that was pretty fun, getting to play with Fair Burning Wish. Because it was just a great toolbox package. So I had bangers like Reanimate. So like against my initiative opponent, who's actually a listener of the show, I got to reanimate his Seasoned Dungeoneer and win that way. I got to wish for 4th Herolongus. That was also came in clutch a couple times. I also had like Reverent Silence, which I never actually wished for, and is not in the original. Like Bone Shards and Molten Collapse and, you know, a few other premium tarts. Ruination, which I didn't get to do to anyone, but I was really excited about the concept. So yeah, the deck.
Did you play the Dead of Winter?
I did not because I didn't own it, and even though I could proxy it, I was like, I'm just going to play Toxic Deluge.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just, it's what I owned, so it was easier.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so deck was super fun. I highly recommend playing it. I went 3-3 on the day, which shows it's capable of wins. I definitely threw one of those matches, again, by like not reading my card. I mean, so it's not a lot that I was going to win from that position, but the game at least continues, mm-hmm. and I was in a favorable spot. But I was also in a favorable spot where I died to like a reasonable number of things.
Okay.
It was like my board was much better. My opponent had like no cards in hand, essentially. But I was also at like 2 life, so anything could just
accidentally kill you.
Yeah. So the deck was super fun. I want to try out a number of things. Josh pointed out, you know, is Dinosaurs on a Spaceship really the best thing that you can hit off of your Soothsayer? And at first I was like, obviously. But then I thought about it. I'm like, I'm not sure that's obvious. I'm kind of interested in trying Greater Gargadon.
Okay.
Yeah, because with Greater Gargs, you get to have a huge thing. And you can remove the counters by sacking something. So, you know, a Greater Gargadon on 3, you can just, like, sack the Soothsayer and, like, 2 other things. Maybe you played a Bowmaster on 2. And you can just sack that, and all of a sudden you have, like, a 3-mana, a 9-8 haste. Like, that's pretty strong. I'm not sure if that's better or worse. Maybe you can play both, because one of the things, like I was kind of hinting at, is the deck felt kind of anemic at points, because everything was so low mana cost. So, you know, maybe it's like, hey, I'm hoping to hit Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, but I also have, like, multiple good hits. So, I'm just not sure, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting card. I mean, it has to hit something that's 3 or greater, right?
3 or greater.
Yeah, the fact that it hits itself is very frustrating.
Yes. You can also have it hit Emrakul.
Which is good. I mean, obviously, that's a pretty solid hit.
That's a game-ending side.
But at that point, are you playing... Because you still have this, like, weird in-between where, like, you have Soothsayer and you have Emrakul in exile, like, ooh, in 3 turns, you're gonna get it. Which is, like, obviously a good thing to have. Like, I'm not gonna take a turn 3, you know, a 3-turn delayed Emrakul and, like, scoff at it. But also, like, 3 turns is a long time, and like, I don't know.
So what's the worst that happens in 3 turns? What's the worst?
Death.
Oh. I didn't consider that one.
Yeah. I know, that is interesting. I do like the X creatures, though. Like, I think having Fiend Artisan in the deck and having Moloch are both really, really nice things to, I guess, that dodge the Soothsayer, but are still, like, things I'd be happy to top deck later in the game, too. So maybe there are more cards like that that would be really, really good additions that are, like, X spells. But I don't know how many, like, kicker/, spells like that. Like, I mean, like, I guess you could do, like, Elvish Reclaimer as a card. Like, I'm not upset to draw later, but, like, I'm not pumped about drawing that card later either. I was actually wondering about
Reclaimer in the deck. Because, like, I was thinking, like, having access to Juggernaut would be nice. Like, I was worried that the deck would be really bad against, like, the Rescaminator decks. I will say, round 1, I got rocked by Reanimator. And then another one of my losses was to Rescaminator, which that was the one where I forgot about flying, or couldn't find it on the card, rather. And then my third loss was actually to Sarge himself on Mono Red. That one was pretty frustrating. He got me in game 3 with a turn 1 Blood Moon. And I'm just like... But the thing is, I'm playing, like, what was it, 7 or 8 basics? So, like, I don't think Blood Moon is good. And even if, turn 1 Blood Moon is good against basically everyone, but, like, even if it came down on turn 2, like, I think I kind of easily win. So it's just, like, it's not my favorite thing that ever happened, but it is what it is.
I think my favorite thing that ever happened was that one time I found $100, and then I went home and told my sister, hey, I found $100. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I just lost $100. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I gave her the $100.
Feel good story. Yeah. I'm going to tell your wife that marrying her was not your favorite thing that ever happened. The birth of your kids wasn't your favorite thing that ever happened. It was,
Well, I mean, to be fair, there was a lot of screaming at the birth of the children. That was kind of a mood killer. And also, I had to pay for that wedding, so it definitely goes down a little bit there. The actual experience was great, and the cupcakes were fantastic. I mean, I don't want to undersell, but just in particular, the wedding, the ceremony itself was beautiful. So if we don't isolate that one part, that's good, but the whole experience, if I could not pay thousands of dollars to eat cake at a venue, I would...
Thousands of dollars to eat cake and hang out with me.
That is true. You were there. That is that is true. That is not worth thousands of dollars still. I mean, I'm sure to somebody. I'm sure that's something like we could do like an old deal where you, someone eats cake from you, off of you. I don't know. I don't know the details yet, but we can iron that out later. That seems like an off-show topic.
I can bake a cake.
Yeah. I mean, you can get in a cake. Yeah,
I'm not gonna do that one.
But you're not gonna give it to them. You're just gonna have them purchase it from you. I'm confused.
I said I'm not getting in it, but
oh, okay, yeah. That's just dangerous, anyways.
I'd bake somebody a cake. It probably won't be worth $1,000.
Well, I think it's the experience, right? I think it's you coming over, hand delivering a cake, sitting down, playing a league, and then leaving. I think is worth $1,000. I would pay you $1,000 just to give me a cake and leave. So, like, the free...
I'll be there tomorrow.
...would be a bonus. Yeah. The event sounds like the games were immaculate, which was great.
Yeah, I honestly had so much fun. I got to play the most number of games. I went to game 3 in every round, and it was good.
Good. I don't know if you have any insight or not. It seemed like the room itself was just like a beautiful, beautiful venue. A lot of like modern art and things like that kind of hanging around and
beautiful all about. Beautiful room, beautiful people, beautiful top eight. Top eight was a lot of friends, which was nice. I mean, obviously there was going to be a lot of friends there, but like there's also a lot of people I didn't know. So it was nice seeing the top eight be so... heavily filled with friends and like a good mix with deck. Yeah, and then there was a taxidermied squirrel for the winner.
Yes, awesome.
Let's see, can I remember what the top eight was? So the top eight was Boot Black Reanimator, Leyline Beans, Jeskai Control, I don't know what this person was on, Esper Vial, Lands, I don't know what this person was on, and...
pretty diverse top eight. I don't think I heard enough Delver, but that's fine.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. I mean, that's good, though. I think our friend Chris ended up winning. Am I right? Am I wrong?
So he did take home the trophy. I'm not sure if top four actually played it out. One of the things that was a little bit awkward was the lighting was mainly natural, which is actually like one of my favorite ways to play Magic with natural lighting. Mm. But... the unfortunate thing about natural lighting is at some point it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I don't know that the top four played out their matches. Plus, the venue, we had kind of gone past our time that we had rented the room for.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Was this like a play on the street corner, kind of deal at that point? Or like go to the pizza shop across the street?
I left, so I'm not sure how it ended. But I think, like, top eight, like I'm saying, like, I think the top eight matches all ended. I think top four was just kind of like, okay, who wants it?
Mm. That's good. I mean, I've never seen someone actually win a stuffed squirrel, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have. It's a unique trophy.
Yeah. It's probably a good thing that I didn't try harder because if I won, I don't think that would be allowed in my house between my vegan wife and my two dogs.
Yep. Yeah, my child would eat that 100%.
Yeah, you don't want that.
It would not be allowed here. I don't know. Did Sarge say anything about potentially any other events coming up? I know it seems like this is the second one, and... if we're going to keep alliterating, I don't know if there's going to be a second spells at the squirrel, or if there's going to be like a I don't think of a cute alliteration for maybe a pioneer event or something like that, or probably I'm assuming he's going to stick with modern and legacy for the Mart.
Well, you know, I'm not Sarge, so listeners, don't take anything I'm saying as official. But we were talking about it. I know the first two events were very close together. He's going to be spreading this out more. I mean, it's a lot of work. He learned some things that he wants to incorporate. But also, again, it's just a lot of work. I believe the next one he said is going to be like... And I think he said he's going to try to aim for 3 year. For the next one, we were debating on format. We actually, you know, we were pretty pleased by the attendance for this one. He was not expecting it to... I don't think he was expecting it to get as close to the cap as it did. We ended up having, I believe, 56 players.
Whoa!
57.
Awesome.
Something around there. We didn't quite hit the cap, but we were in the high 50s. So that was awesome. Which I think a lot goes into that. I think we, and I don't just mean you and I, but like people in general, I think did a good job like advertising it to their friends. I think actually having enough time. Like, sometimes you find out about events, but it's, like, a week beforehand. It's like, well, I would have gone, but I can't because there was no notice. I'm talking about you, Eternal Weekend. You know, sometimes you have things like that. I also think people wanted to support, like, a local player kind of just doing this rather than a store. Plus, I think, you know, getting to do the unique venue thing was cool. But he's going to try for later this year, I believe fall. In terms of formats, we were talking about a few things. He did consider going back to modern, but what I pointed out to him was he would be running his modern event during like modern RCQ season, and that feels kind of pointless because I love Sarge, but why would I go to his 1K when I could go to a 1K RCQ?
Thinking
about it, I suggested the idea of Pauper, which is also one of his favorite formats. And I think that would be a nice rotation of Modern, Legacy, Pauper. Those are also his three favorite formats. They're probably mine as well, even though I never actually play Pauper. But like, if I was playing it regularly, I think it would be up there. I think that would be a healthy thing, but again, I am not speaking for him. I have no affiliation with the series other than I am friends with him, so.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I think those three formats are probably, I think Modern is its own thing. Modern is in this weird holding pattern in my mind where, like, everyone likes it, but also I feel like people don't want it. If that makes any sense. Like, I feel like Pioneer is on the side where people are like, I know we have to do this, but I'm not going to be happy about it. It's like, yeah. But Modern's at the point where it's like, people are like, no, I mean, Modern and I go way back, so I'm going to ride or die with Modern. Legacy, I think a lot of diehards, and we will take anything that we can get. Pauper, I think, is, like, closer to the Legacy spectrum, where it's just like, I feel bad that there's, like, never a Pauper event, and then, like, they'll beg for an event, and it's like, yeah, I mean, like, you guys can, like, sit in, like, this dirty, like, corner, and, like, the event will be packed, and, you know, it'll hit the cap, and, you know, everyone has a good time, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if we'll do that again. Just like, it doesn't seem like there was a lot of interest. It's like, what? How's there, what? So, I'm hoping that we actually do get, just in general, I think the niche that Sarge is in, where, you know, he's proxy friendly, but again, it's a very competitive environment, but still a casual environment. It's a good kind of in between. I feel like that's like the perfect home for, you know, potentially having more Pauper events. So maybe hopefully.
So we do, I think if it's Pauper, it probably won't be proxy friendly. But again, you know, I do not speak for him. But like, the Modern wasn't proxy friendly, but like you know, Legacy is expensive. It prices people out. Pauper is fairly cheap by definition. I agree with you. There does need to be more Pauper events. It's just like, I think part of it is, you know, it doesn't make much money for stores like trying to resell cards. Every now and again, you'll randomly have something like when Oubliette was like $50 or whatever.
Snuff out. But, yeah.
You know, people trying to buy...
there's definitely a couple
buy cards. Buy the cards for, like, Mono Blue Delver. You can buy the deck for, like, $50 or whatever, so...
Yeah, and there's not a lot of... I think there's not a lot of changeover. I know, like, if you're playing the format, you do get, like, some random... here's some gates that are really playable, and here are some lands that are somehow indestructible for you, and, like, enjoy those. Like, that is cool, but, like, again, like, how much does it cost to to buy the four gates and put them into your deck? Are we talking, like, $2, maybe? Or, you know, maybe you get, like, a Troll of Kothic Doom and something like that, or Lotlith Troll, like, Lotlith Giant, I think it's the one that plays with the Dread Return. Like, there's not a lot of price changes there on that, you know, uncommon that nobody wanted to play the first time. So, I don't know. Do you actually have a Pauper deck, like, put together?
I used to, but it's just been so long. No. Last time I played Pauper, I played the Blue-Black Terror deck. I had a good time. I believe it went well. I don't remember how well it went, but well enough. But yeah, I every now and again I think about the fact that I'm like, oh, I should really rebuy a Pauper deck. And I'm like, well, I have been to one Pauper event in the past 5 years, and I've gone to half the Pauper events I've heard about. So, like, what's the point?
That's fair. Well, if you want to get your tickets for Pauper at the Palace in Philadelphia, that is...
Okay, so I've talked a lot about my weekend. Okay.
Well, it...
I know yours, you played some CDH, which, you know, I don't know that we want to linger on CDH forever, but let's hear a little bit about that. And I believe you also played some CDH leagues, and I'm curious how that experience has been going. I've been seeing a lot of very positive feedback about
that. Yeah, I mean, the leagues online have definitely been a whole experience. I guess I'll quickly touch on the event that I played on Saturday, though. That was over at On the Draw, which, again, with the OTJ pre-release, but I thought was a very fitting name. We ended up having, I want to say it was like 17, 20, 21 good. Players. I think we had like 5 pods plus one. Yeah, no, it's very good. And, you know, the first prize was a Trop, but that was the only prize was a Trop. It wasn't like, you know, top four also gets like, first place gets a Trop and everybody else looks at the Trop. That was their prize. Okay. So, I ended up actually going 2-1 in the Swiss and was first seed going into top four. It was a cut to top four. So we ended up just splitting like 125 in credit, which was I'm more than happy with, you know, for the, I think it was like $30 to play. So, you know, fairly good. Had a good time. Faldorn continues to be really good and hard for people to beat in paper, which is I know that's like my pet deck, but the deck is legitimately good. It's just it's not everyone's cup of tea. You lose a little bit of agency in terms of not having counter magic. I do have some things I want to try out though. Like I think I'm ready emotionally to try playing Delayed Fire Blast, which is a beating. That card is very good when it's good. So I think I'm gonna try that. A couple other ideas I want to work out, but we'll figure that out eventually. The leagues on Magic Online, though, have been really interesting. I mean, just over the past, I guess since, like, Thursday, I think I started playing. I think I put out a live tweet of my league. I think I played 2 leagues on Friday night, maybe it was Saturday night. Just trying out some different decks and trying out, you know, the actual experience. The one thing I do recommend to people is to double-check your stops. There are actually different stops set up for Magic Online in the Commander queues than there are in the other queues, which I did not realize. You have, like, the ability to stop on each individual player's steps. So, like, you know, which is yeah, it makes sense. It just, the way it's set up is very odd, where, like, you'll have the one node for you, and then above it there'll be 3 nodes for your opponent. So, like, then if you want to stop on the end step of only the person who goes before you, like, you can just have that one stopped and have the other two unclicked and, you know, not have to stop there, which is very good for, like, flexibility and speeds up the game significantly. But there's also a lot of points where people are just, like, F6ing through their turns if they don't necessarily have something they want to do. So it's actually really easy to get kind of tells about, like, okay, they don't have anything, so I can just, like, you know, go off for this combo here. Just one of those things that, like, not used to watching people... Well, not used to playing online. You have to kind of at least feign, like, you know, like we do with the miracle triggers. Like, just, you know, take a second, pause, make your opponent think that you might have a counterspell, you might have a force ability, you might have a force of negation, something like that. That is definitely a change. The other thing, too, and this is, like, I'm sure you've seen this at some point, the win conditions, if you're going to play the leagues, play a deck that does not depend on your opponent doing anything. I ended up losing a game. I had Emile Dockside. If you haven't seen Emile the Blessed, it's like, you know, 3-mana flicker creature. You can like pay a mana to give it a 1/1 counter. It's not totally relevant, but you know, I'm going to pay 3-mana. I'm going to flicker my Dockside. I'm going to get 6 treasures. I'm going to keep doing this, and eventually I'm going to have infinite mana, and then I'll win the game. Whichever way I want. I'm playing Faldorn. I'm playing Aragorn. There we are. A lot of Gorns. I'm playing Aragorn, the Uniter. So, like, the goal was I'm going to make infinite mana. I'm going to eventually, you know, use the cards in my hand to draw until I find, like, Food Chain or something like that. I'll find Food Chain and Squee, and then I'll just, like, keep looping those. Or I can just, like, manually kill you by just, like, casting all the cards from my deck. It's not too bad. However, my opponent decided that they were going to concede, so my Dockside count went down from 6 to 2, which does not give me infinite mana. Actually, just puts me at a deficit. So I had to, like, try to pivot to another plan, and I eventually got lucky. My opponent my other two opponents ended up staying in the game. I ended up getting a Delny, which doubled the trigger for Dockside, so even though it was only 2, it ended up being 4, and then ended up being able to win. But that is one of many scenarios that people have encountered online, trying to win the game, and instead losing.
You wonder about multiple things.
Yeah.
Like, one, I'm wondering, you know, why did that person leave? Did that person leave because they didn't want you to win? Or did they leave just because they're like, oh, this person has it wrapped up, and I don't feel like wasting my...
It was the first one. they were literally the one person convinced the player, because it's, I'm going to say player 1, 2, and 3. Player 2 conceded because player 3 was like, hey, if you don't concede, we all lose. And they're like, yeah, you're right. So they just conceded. Which,
I just, like, I don't really understand how that benefits them.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too.
Like, if they're saying, oh, I don't want to waste my time, I get that. But then that's also frustrating that then that means, like, hey, maybe you lose now because you were spending resources on winning and, like, you couldn't go off, so, like, now you're screwed. And so it's, like, weird that you leaving can just, like, ruin another player's life. Mm-hmm. And then also, I wonder, like, because your combo you're describing is very similar to how I like to win when I play CDH. Mm-hmm. And just trying to win like that seems kind of miserable on Modo. So, like, I already play other decks like Suffled Breakfast and Grinding Station on Modo that some people might say are miserable, or Loaded mm-hmm. Druid. So, like, maybe it's not that bad. I don't know. But, like, CDH games already go long. Like, I just don't know that it's worth the effort to try to win with, like, Dockside looped. It kind of makes me just want to play Thoracle, mm-hmm. Which I also think is pretty boring.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rog'Thai, Rogue Rack, Silas Wren, Adept, I believe his last sub-name is. But, yeah, that's definitely the best deck, I think, to be playing. It is a combo deck. It is the fastest combo deck. It wins the games definitively. You don't have to worry about, will I hit this, will I hit that. Like, when you win, you win. So that deck, and then also Kark Sakashima, which is another deck that is actually really annoying to play in paper, but online is lovely because you don't have to worry about the coin flipping. That's if you don't know what Kark does, it essentially allows you to, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you flip a coin. If it's heads, you get to copy it. If it's tails, it returns to your hand. So some spells end up actually being really good. Something like I'm trying to think of a good one. Rite of Flame, for example. If you have Rite of Flame, if you're, you know, essentially lucky, right, you can just cast it for a red. And if you have Sakashima, which is just going to copy your Quark, you end up having two opportunities to return it to your hand before the spell actually resolves. And even if the original copy, quote-unquote, resolves, the other, it still goes back to your hand, so you can actually just, like, make a bunch of mana pretty easily just going through. But again, one of the annoying things is you have to, you're manually flipping coins or rolling dice and paper. Online, you're just like, I will just yield all, and we will just flip, and if it comes back to my hand, that's great, and if it doesn't, that's great as well.
You still have to pick heads or tails, at least,
you
right?
You do, yeah.
Which I feel like they should get rid of. I mean, it is very satisfying when you pick and you're correct, mm-hmm. but also it would be a better user experience if it just, like,
yeah, gave you an people, answer. Like, want to pretend like they have agency. Like, that is...
But you don't actually have any either way.
No, you don't. You have no say, and again, like, it doesn't matter if it's always heads and you win, or it's always tails and you lose, or it alternates back and forth. Like, it's still random. Like, random is random, so... Yeah, but people feel better about having the choice. But going back a little bit, even if you do concede, by the way, like, you're still in that pod, so you can't play another game until that pod is finished. So, like, there is very little advantage to leaving besides screwing somebody else over. I didn't, like, quote-unquote, learn the hard way. I thought we were dead in the one game, so I conceded just as a courtesy. And I couldn't join another pod until that game finished, which, you know, they were comboing off. It took, like, another 5 minutes. Not a huge deal, but I do think there is some kind of, like, life equity in terms of, like, trying to have a quick game. But there are also a lot of situations where, like, it makes sense you don't want to just concede. Like, you know, if you are not sure if they're going to be able to actually win the game, like, there is a chance that, theoretically, something like Quark Sakashima is going to lose all their flips, and they're just going to waste a bunch of mana, and they'll pass the turn back with, you know, no cards in hand and a tapped board or whatever, and you can just swing in for lethal easily. But also, like, that is not a definitive win. Something like like you were saying, like, the Dockside loops. Like, Dockside loops take a long time, potentially. That is annoying, yes, but, like, you're going to die. So, like, I don't know if you need to go through the, like, you know you're supposed to die at least. I don't know if you want to take advantage of the thing and it's going to take a while for them to kill you to, you know, do that. But I don't know. I guess we're kind of in the infancy of playing CEDH online. So the manners and the expectations, I guess, are still kind of up in the air. And obviously, you don't have to concede to anything. It's just, like, life advice, right? Like, the Reed Duke school of playing Magic. Like, concede to no one. Make them kill you. I definitely get that. But also, like, I don't know. I'm more playing because it's a very easy and convenient way to play CEDH. I'm not playing to try to, like, maximize edges. Maybe I should. But it's also kind of hard because, like, the leagues are only, like, five tickets or 50 play points. So it doesn't really feel like it's the investment that I usually get when I'm playing a league and it's 100 ticks and, like, I really need to 3-2. Like, you can go 1-2 and still make your money back, which is really nice, I think. So, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll figure out the heuristics as we go along.
The one thing that is cool is I've seen a lot of people who are, like, not CDH players giving the leagues a shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one who sits here and says, oh, CDH tournaments are the way of the future. Because I don't think that's true. But I do enjoy playing CDH. Mm-hmm. I prefer it with friends to tournaments. But, like, you know, I think it's cool that people are giving the format a shot and hopefully finding something else. You know, Magic can be played in a variety of ways. And I think it's, you know, not every way is going to be for everyone. And that's totally cool. Like, I am a known pioneer non-enjoyer. Mm. But it's, you know, it's still cool to get to experiment with these formats and see firsthand, okay, I hate this, or like, oh no, this is a blast, and I was wrong this whole time. But like, I don't know, there's just so many people who are like, CDH, that's dumb, ha ha ha. It's like, have you ever played it? And they're like, well, no. So like, you know, now's your chance.
Yeah.
And again, if you've played A League or Two and you hate it, cool, go off, King. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know.
I think it's really fun. I mean, like, and like you said, there's a lot of people who have not been playing CDH who, like, I guess if it's online, I'll try it. Because the other benefit, too, is, like, my least favorite part about CDH is going to Staples and trying to print out a bunch of deck lists and then getting sleeves for, like, you know, Basic Mountain and, like, Lava Dart. So I can put these cutout squares in front of them in my sleeve. That is 110% the worst part. Like, I don't have multiple mana crypts and mana vaults and gemstone caverns. Like, I don't have those. So, like, I'm going to proxy as much as I can for this, and I'm more than willing to do it, but, like, it is a pain. It is an undertaking every time I do it. The fact that I get to actually just, like, go to Mana Traders and just be like, hey, yo, Mana Traders, give me this deck. And they're like, yeah, sure, bro. Enjoy your Niv-Mizzet. That seems cool. What are you going to do with that? I'm like, don't worry about it. That's a huge plus for me. So I'm really, really happy to be able to just switch up decks. I'm I'm trying to play all of my decks that I have. But, I'm excited. I'm going to eventually play Rog'Thai. I'm eventually going to play Kinnan. I'm going to eventually play, you know, like Niv-Mizzet, like I mentioned. I'm going to try playing some of these decks that, like, I just, like, I don't have availability for. I don't necessarily want to try to go through the effort of picking up an AO or a Sethys deck with all those weird accoutrements. Like, I'm just going to instead go to Mana Traders, get them to give me the deck that I want, and play that. It's really... I guess quick little thing too. If you are playing, by the way, this is a really weird situation that I've ran into. There is a good chance that if you upload a list, if you don't already have the commander, if you do get it from a service, that they'll give you the whole thing. But if the version doesn't match what you already have in the command zone, it doesn't update. Like, you know, like if you normally, you know, you're playing whatever deck, you're playing, you know, Mono Black Scam, and you've got, four griefs in the deck, right? But you have the original grief, not the full art grief. It'll just be like, oh, we got you. Update, I got you. Okay, cool. Magical Line does not do that for the commander specifically. It's not in the deck. It's not in the 99. It's the extra card. So you actually need to manually remove the commander that's not there anymore. Only the present one is there. It took me a long time to realize that. I was like, I had a 2-minute breakdown trying to figure out what card am I missing. Like, is it the Bloodstained Mire? Is it wrong? No. Is it the Basic Mountain? No. It's the commander. So just a heads up.
You know, we haven't discussed possibly the most important thing, which is that the Legacy Showcase Challenge is coming up this weekend. Right,
yeah.
Yeah, so we've been messing around playing some Nickfit and some CDH, but it's time to get serious. I'm not sure if I'm playing that on Sunday. I'll be honest, I don't have the QPs. I have not been playing much Modo. Mm-hmm. I can probably get the remaining QPs if I want this week.
Of course.
I don't believe you're sure if you're going to be playing or not. Though I think you're a little bit more likely to play than I am currently. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. What do we think is good? Top Dog is obviously Rescaminator. So I guess, are you interested in playing Rescaminator yourself? Or are you interested
I would like to put in the effort to play that deck. I just, like, don't want to. It's really what it comes down to. Like, I'm not playing Beanstalk. I was playing Bug Beans for a long time, but I don't like that Rescaminator matchup. I still don't.
Me. I haven't played the match, so like I don't actually have any firsthand experience. But on paper, I would have thought.
Now you get your hand ripped apart pretty easily. It's really hard for you to claw back into the game once they, you know, grief reanimate your beans. I'm trying to think of something. Whatever, it doesn't particularly matter, right? Your wrist cut. you have a bunch of these engines, but, like, you losing pieces of the engine hurt so much to get the next piece of the engine. Like, you need the first beans to go get the second beans, which gets you the fourth of will, which draws you to the murderous cut, which gets you to the next beans. Like, that's normally how the games go, and, like, I obviously like being able to recoup the value from of the beanstalk, but there ends up being a point where, like, it's too late or too, you know, too little, so... and also, like, their removal spells don't... I don't think they line up particularly great for you. Like, you have access to things like... Again, I haven't played the deck the command, Witherbloom Command, I think is obviously a good card, but, like, it doesn't necessarily do enough just because, like, they can play off of basics if they need to play off of basics. So, like, that, like, Wasteland Stifle plan is not as effective as it normally would be. Stifle's still fine, but you end up having to, like, cut your Force of Wills because, like, you don't want to be playing Force of Wills in that kind of matchup, but you also do need to keep some number of Force of Wills because, like, you'll just die to, like, the Reanimator plan, which they board out of. Like, you're just in this, like, weird in-between where, like, everything you do is fine but not good, and what they do is usually just... it lines up pretty cleanly versus you, so... I have not been a fan of that matchup. I'm trying to think in the last, I'll say the last month, in paper events, I think 3 of my 5 losses have been to that. And obviously the different levels of pilots and things like that too. But like that deck is just a really tough out. So I think if I was playing right now, I would lean towards playing, which I know I complain about this deck all the time, playing the Temur Delver. I've been playing, I trophied with it. I don't think I've ever trophied with a deck and just still been like, ugh. But I'm just like not impressed with the deck still, but like people die to it, I guess. I don't know if this is a weird opinion or not, so maybe you could tell me. I don't like Questing Druid in the deck. I don't know what I want, but it's definitely not Questing Druid. And every time I cast it, it just hits the worst cards possible. Like, I'm like, okay, I just need, like, a removal spell for this creature. And we're out there. We're doing it. And then, like, I'll hit, like, Questing Druid, Murktide region. I'm like, no! You have one job! But, like, I feel like it hits a lot more junk than it does gas. And I don't know if that's... If other people feel that way, you can write into the show, or you can darkdepth_podcast. But I don't know. I'm just like never impressed with the card. So, but I don't know. The deck's fine. I can play it. I'll probably play that. I think Temur is kind of the thing I would default to. It's either that or like just like playing goblins, getting the game over with. It's another deck that I have been playing. I have been playing it, and I think the addition of the One Ring. It is a huge improvement to that deck. I think you can win a lot more games just because you have the one ring kind of bridging that gap from that into maybe Muxus or maybe just more creatures. So that those would likely be the two options for me. I'm not sure.
If you don't like Emer, why so not Grixis?
And this is weird. I know the Grixis. I'm actually okay with. I do like Grixis. I don't think that the Reanimator deck... I could be totally wrong about this. It's just anecdotal. But I don't think that the Grixis Delver list is particularly good against Riskaminator either. I think Temur is better versus Riskaminator. So I'm leaning that way essentially simply because of that. And again, this is kind of in my own... You know, personal testing, I have not, like, compared notes with anybody on that. But I like the Temur side of them. I'd rather be on Temur than Grixis when playing against Riskaminator. I just think the Bowmaster trade-offs are obviously nice, but I think you eventually win on that side. I think with the Temur Delver, obviously your Delvers are getting picked off either way. But I think the DRCs are more likely to be bigger, and I think it's easier to protect a Questing Druid if you just play Questing Druid and start upping it. I think it's a lot harder for them to actually get off the board. So, kind of leaning that way. I mean, that's like the one big thing about Riskaminator. They just don't have removal outside of, like, Bowmaster. So, like, if your creatures aren't dying to Bowmaster, you're okay. the fact that Grixis has just a bunch of one toughness creatures that very rarely get past one toughness, or, you know, like in the form of Bowmasters, in the form of Delver Secrets.
For me personally, this will come as a surprise to basically no one. I would play Green White Depths.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes I feel bad because, like, I don't consider myself, like, a one-trick pony. And I know, like, I get that reputation because, like, I keep jamming the deck. But, like, the deck keeps being good. You're not seeing, like, an overabundance of it right now. And I'm not really sure why that is. If you look at the metagame, the most popular deck is, like, Rug Delver. I said I feel good about my Delver matchups. The next most popular deck is, like, Turbo Muxus, which is, like, pretty close. I feel slightly favored, I think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe slightly behind. It's kind of a wash. But I think you're pretty good against Scam, which is, like, the next most popular. Then you're pretty good against Lands, which is, like, the next on the list. And then you're pretty good against Grixis Delver, which is next. And then you're, like, I also think pretty good against Red Stompy, which is next. You're, like, very not good against Beanstalk Control. But if you know what you're doing, you know, you can games, despite it's definitely not a good matchup. Painter is kind of, like, I don't know, it depends. Doomsday is obviously trash for you, but, you know, it is what it is. You can't beat them all. And, you know, feel okay against Scam. And that's not to say, you know, this deck I said I feel good against, it's not to say they can never win, because they definitely can. But, yeah, I feel pretty good about the deck's position in the metagame. Last time I saw the numbers, it was one of, if not the most winning deck. And it's just like nobody plays it, and I think it's because everybody's like, I need to have Brainstorm in my deck or Ancient Tomb, which is like, yeah, those cards are great. I am a big fan of putting both those cards into play, which you would think Sneak and Show would just be the best deck, but yeah, I don't know. Depths just seems to beat up on a lot of things that are good, and I am also very comfortable with the deck. I would recommend that people, you know, do try Rescaminator. I mentioned this last week. I did not have fun when I played it. I am not super interested in playing it again. I will say there is, I've seen one player in particular has been doing really well with, like, Bug Scam, and I am vaguely interested in trying their list. Our friend Brendan was working on similar ideas, and I kind of like that they're, you know, not as all in on the reanimate thing. It feels like that is strong, although they are playing Uro, which makes them still pretty weak to graveyard hate. But I do just like that it is doing slightly different things, and perhaps more resilient, because you don't necessarily need to rely on, like, resolving reanimate or animate dead. But I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, I would probably play Depths. If I wasn't playing Depths, then Goblins would be my next choice, because I think that deck is both good and fun.
Yeah, I think I don't think there's a better feeling than just being like, oh, I'm gonna fling this recruiter at your head. You die. Like, that's great. All right. We should leave. This has been fun. I don't even know if we have to say anything else, but obviously, tip your waiters and stuff like that. Where can people find you?
Well, we should probably also give a quick shout out to our sponsors before we go, right?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, obviously, you go ahead.
I'm gonna do it. So, please check out our lovely sponsors. First up, we have Magnolia Gaming. So you can go to magnoliagames.com and purchase all of the singles that you may need. They have a wonderful Magic selection, but they also have a wonderful Flesh and Blood selection, as well as Lurkana and One Piece. I think Flesh and Blood selection might even be better than Magic, so if you're into that game, you know, definitely check them out. And then also we have our wonderful sponsors over at Heavy Play. So once you go to Magnolia and buy your cards, you know, you want to keep them safe. So you want to go to Heavy Play and use code DARKDEPTHS10 for 10% off your order and get some sleeves to protect them, get some decks or deck boxes rather, to keep those sleeves safe and keep the decks all together in one piece. And then you're going to want to get a playmat so you can use their I don't know if it's patented, but you can use their MagSafe technology to clip that deck box to your playmat and move it around nice and easy. And it'll just be a great experience playing with beautiful cards inside of beautiful sleeves inside of, or on top of a beautiful playmat.
They just came out with the 133DS, which is not a Nintendo product, I found out, but it is a deck box that holds 133 double-sleeved cards, which is, you know, I think great. I think that is extra space in my deck box is never something that I mind having, so that's a really good way to keep your legacy deck or modern deck double-sleeved, have plenty of tokens in there as well, and that seems like a really good addition for anybody, especially if you're one of those Yorian gamers. Okay, awesome. Well, that was good. I'm proud of you. That was a good ad read. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up. Where can people find you?
Find me at Expedition Map on Twitter and various other places. How can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bad Luck Bandit. If you're interested in finding the show, we're at Depth_podcast on Twitter as well. Of course, all of our links to our sponsors and to our Patreon and our PayPal, all that fun stuff, is on our link tree on our Twitter account for the show. So definitely check that out as well. And of course, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, right? I'll see you next week. All right. Bye.
Gavin Maya taps with green, the scene sees reclaim. Untap sack of flagstones, go seek the plains. Then tutor up the stage, so pull out your playbill. Darkness podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in Mox Diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in a forest so dense it looks decomposed. With red liquor nights crush against Death's shadow. On the legendary lake covered in ice and snow. Underneath the surface lurks a lonely evil. An avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The night lunges forward, going for the kill. But Death's shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. Its stubborn denials compile a stack so thick. The bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The night takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street rape's fringes, who wanna stuff her out, they don't seek forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dryad arbors thaw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.